This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A $200 million man, yet again, can a newly paid Steph Curry win another title? The Giants were brawling yesterday at camp. Did Joe Judge's punishment, though, fit the crime? We'll explain. And when Kevin Wilde speaks, Philip Rivers listens, hinting at a possible comeback.
Oh my goodness, you were all over this one.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First, alongside Nick and Brandon. The man down there, Kevin Wilde. I'm Jenna Wolf. There's weird, there's wonderful, and now, Kevin, there is wise. Kudos to you, buddy.
That's what, you know what, Jenna? That's why we have the most important show in all of television. Breaking news. No, the other shows break news. We are making news. You break news, we make news.
That's right.
You're all over.
Way to go, Wilde.
You're all over the news and the way you announced it. We got to start this morning, though, with the newest Laker, but the oldest of friends of LeBron, Carmelo Anthony. 19 years after the two came into the league, they are finally teammates. Lakers bringing Carmelo Anthony 19. Into the fold. Lakers needed some shooting, and they'll get it with Melo off the bench. He flourished in that role this past year in Portland, averaging 13 points on 40% from three. Check out how he made the announcement on Twitter. Subtle, working in the Laker logo to his own personal logo. I liked it. It was just sort of there. Melo, where do you think he is? Already in the gym, putting the work in. Skills coach Chris Brickley posting this video of the 10-time All-Star in New York City yesterday. So Lakers made three other moves as well. They signed Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn. They brought back Talen Horton-Tucker as well. Nick, take all of this in. What was your reaction to the Lakers signing Melo yesterday?
Jenna, I could cry. I'm so happy right now. Listen, I don't know if the Lakers will win the title, but I do know if they win the title, it will be one of the most satisfying championships in sports history for sports fans. If Russ and Melo are able to get rings alongside LeBron and, you know, get the only thing missing from their respective careers. For Melo, a finals appearance is missing from his career. He's only been to the conference finals one time. He's only been out of round one two times. It will be spectacular. And we have seen the Carmelo Anthony archetype many times in NBA history. The best version is probably George Gervin, great scorer, never made the finals. Dominique Wilkins, great scorer, never made the finals. Hell, Bernard King did it for the Knicks, great scorer, never made the finals. If Melo, after being left for dead a few years ago by my pal Daryl Morey, and then showing he can still contribute to a winning team at a high level, if he is able to team up, Brandon, with one of his closest friends as these guys approach year 20 and win a championship, it'll just be as special as it gets in sports. So my reaction is I actually think he helps him. He's 40% three-point shooter last year. He understands his role. He won't have a problem coming off the bench. And from an emotional perspective, being able to watch Russ, one of my favorite players ever, and Melo, one of my favorite players ever, team up with LeBron, my favorite athlete ever, it's awesome. I'm excited to see it. I think it can work. I love it.
Great. Right. Me too. Like, I'm a huge Melo fan. He absolutely helps them. Hey, we may see a better Carmelo Anthony in L.A. than we did in Portland. And like Nick said, he was great from the three-point line last year. So here's the deal. They need more of Melo in L.A. than they did in Portland. They had guys that can shoot the ball. They had guys that can get it done in that position.
That's right.
In L.A., there's really not much there. But here's the thing, Nick, all right? Melo, 2006, when I was drafted to the Denver Broncos, Melo was right there. And I was able to sit courtside. I fell in love with Melo. I loved his game. So wherever Melo went, I went. I'm a huge Carmelo Anthony fan, huge Dwayne Wade fan. Those are my guys. So I'm happy that he's in this situation. We're talking about, you know, him leaving New York and then going to OKC and that not working out and then going to Houston and that not working out. And then everybody in the league is like, we don't think we can touch him. We don't think he understands his role now. So he sat there and he was waiting. He was waiting. And his boy Dame came and he went to Portland and he revitalized his career. And now he's there. So I absolutely love this for Carmelo Anthony. He has an opportunity to contend for a championship. But, buddy, you know they say the rich get rich. Richer and the old get older. Like, come on. This reminds me of the 2003 Lakers. Yes. This is the 2003 Lakers. This is Karl Malone. Remember when they went out there and they signed Karl Malone?
Yeah.
They signed Karl Malone, Gary Payton. They re-signed Horace Grant. They went out there and had Rick Fox on the bench. Come on. This is the Lakers being the Lakers at the end of the day. I love it for Carmelo. Please tell me.
Brandon's not wrong about the 04 Lakers, but here is what is forgotten about that Lakers team. That Lakers team would have won the title if in the NBA Finals all their forwards didn't get hurt. Karl Malone got hurt. Devin George got dinged up. Rick Fox got hurt. They were starting, look it up. They were starting Stanislav Medvedenko at forward in those finals games. You know, and by the way, they did make the finals. They didn't make that team. It was not some massive failure. They made the finals.
2004 Lakers.
Yeah, I agree with you. Except I think they'll win. But Wilds, as happy as I am, I'm curious how you feel because you're a Knicks fan. You wanted Melo to come to New York, but unfortunately they gave his money to Evan Fournier, so they couldn't fit him in.
Okay.
So how do you feel with, I'm just telling you, I mean, you got to give Evan Fournier. How do you feel about Melo?
All right, so I'm happy for Melo, and yes, I wanted him to come to New York, partly selfishly because I just wanted to watch all the local games and go to a few games, easier commute than going out to L.A., but more so because it felt like Melo's career was missing a chapter. It was that sort of homecoming. I wanted one final, like, nice cherry on top of his career. But now I'm actually happier that he's with the Lakers than in New York because I think he can put the defining exclamation point on his career. So look, Melo's been in the league for a long time, 10-time All-Star, he's a scoring champ, we all know it. But what is the defining moment of Melo's career? He had a big dunk in Denver where he's like up and like it was a big putback. Like, yeah, maybe he scored 62 points at the Garden. Like, yeah, kind of. Nobody really remembers that. Nick, I would almost argue that Melo's sort of big moments are outside of the NBA. It's winning a national title at Syracuse. It's winning three gold medals. And as silly as it sounds, it's Hoodie Melo out with Chris Brickley at that gym. They're like three big moments. So now that he's teamed with LeBron, and his job is to shoot threes. He's not going to play defense. He's not going to rebound. He's not going to pass the ball. He is going to hit open threes. And the biggest shots of this century were Ray Allen and Kyrie Irving, two LeBron-led teams where LeBron is doing the bulk of the work, but another guy hits the big shot. That is set up perfectly for Melo. And if happens, we will totally change the narrative on Melo's career, where, like you said, hey, he could score, could never get it done, and then it would change you. Like, you know what? Could score and could get it done, so I am overjoyed. Overjoyed, Jenna.
And I do think that it's noteworthy when Brandon, because I think a lot of people are going to reference that 04 Lakers team with Malone and Payton. Gary Payton was a somewhat shell of himself. Karl Malone, despite being as, you know, I think year 20 that was for Karl Malone, maybe year 19, yeah. I think year it was 19. Year 20, or year 19, he was still really good. He was still a really good player. Now, he wasn't MVP-level Karl Malone, but he was still a really good player. So I do think that, so you know, Melo showed you he's got stuff left. Well, yeah, Dwight, I would say, is not as... Dwight is in a different phase, but Dwight is old as well and still can be useful different in the player, role right. he's asked to play. Right. And the thing that's is, right, the right. question here for them, Brandon, is, are they going to accept these roles? Dwight did accept it 2 years ago. They won the Absolutely. Title. And Melo accepted the role in Portland. I think the real question, to be honest, is Russ going to understand his role? That's the explosive part of this. Is Russ going to accept his role? But I love the Melo part. I love it.
Yeah, listen, you said it right, man. Look, this could be a fun season for everybody watching. The Lake Show is back, right? This is pretty cool what LeBron James and company is doing. I don't think that Russell Westbrook will go out there and go against the grain. Like, they sat down and they had that conversation, the big three, he, AD, and LeBron, and they said, okay, AD, are you willing to go down and play the five more? And he said yes, and I would expect that, you know, LeBron and Westbrook got on the same page. The problem is not Westbrook accepting it. The problem is, for me, is can Westbrook get it done without the ball in his hands? Like, there's no doubt in my mind Westbrook will say, question. You know what, I'm coming in this situation. That's the biggest thing, right? I think he'll be more than happy to accept whatever role they give him to go win a championship and go out as a legend and the king that he is when you look at these triple doubles. But Jenna, you got to look at this team, man. It's the 2003-2004 Lakers, and all of this, Jenna, to what? Beat my Nets.
Oh no, they're not. Okay.
To your point, Brandon. Lakers could have eight players on that opening night roster aged 32 or older. So it's a little bit, let's call it a veteran team, if you will. We don't have to go so far as to call it old. Back talking, one day I'm going to be 32. I'm going to let you know what it feels like. Back talking Big Blue, brawling yesterday at Giants camp.
Heard Chris Bosh is coming back.
So did Joe Judge's punishment fit the crime? We'll fill you in next, first things first.
Ooh. Uh-oh, Evan.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Play drawing a blank now. Fireworks at Giants camp yesterday. Not the fun, colorful kind that you watch with your family. These fireworks came courtesy of head coach Joe Judge following a huge brawl at practice. Now, there was no video of it, but Jordan Renan tweeted this. First day of pads got ugly. Corey Clement got popped at the end of a play during 11-on-11. Evan Engram defended his guy. Logan Ryan crushed Engram from behind. Team scuffled, guys on the ground. End result, a furious Joe Judge. 10 minutes later, Giants still running sprints. And then he continues, throw in two rounds of push-ups. And now Judge has players only in a semicircle to get an earful. Curse to word ratio through the roof. Wait, here's the scary part, guys. Quarterback Daniel Jones reportedly one of the guys stuck at the bottom of the pile of bigger guys than him.
Oh, no.
Here's the version. Here was his version of what happened.
There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands it.
Have you ever seen him that angry before?
Yeah, he's a pretty, you know, he can get excited, and I think, you know, guys respond to it, and I think they certainly got the message today.
I think, Daniel, some people say, you know, starting quarterback, you know, kind of stay out of that. What made you want to run in and participate?
I'm part of the team, and I don't, you know, part of the team, part of the offense, and we're competing, so I don't see myself separated from that.
Brandon, Joe Judge disciplining the Giants players after training camp brawl is blank.
Ooh, this is football. Football is back. Nick, you got to be a Danny Dimes fan, man. You crushed them all last year, man. You got to love that. Your quarterback, your starting quarterback, mixing it up, jumping in the pile. Come on, man. This dude's ready to compete. But here's the deal. Back in the day when I first got in the league, Nick, you know, coaches loved this. Players loved it. The fans that were there watching practice live, they loved this. This is what you expect in training camp. It gets everybody going. When you walk into training camp, you have that offense and that defense wearing the same helmet, but they're on two different teams, and they're going to get after it. And this is what happens. And then once you get through a couple of preseason games, everything kind of mellows out and everybody is ready to hit another team in a different color. But right now, everything's have shifted. So my answer is new age. Because back in the day, this was accepted. Now coaches are looking around and saying, yo, we're paying these guys millions of dollars. We can't afford for somebody to break their hand in a fist fight with dudes with helmets on. We can't afford a guy to twist his ankle, his knee. We can't afford it. And then also, when you see guys like Joe Judge, he's thinking about, if I accept this, if I entertain this, then you're probably going to take this to the game on Sundays. And that's going to hurt our team. Those are 15-yard penalties. And those are things you can control. And those are things that can hurt your team. So this is new age coaching.
So... All right, let me answer the first part real quick. Brandon saying I need to give Daniel Jones more credit. Daniel Jones, absolutely, is the best quarterback in the NFL that just randomly picks his nose while answering a press conference question. Buddy, you're on film.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing? I'm the only one that noticed that. You're leader of the team. You're on camera. All right, that's first of all. Second of all, listen, this is all the Giants have. Every day, I text Kevin Wilds a tweet from a Giants beat writer with the latest Joe Judge shenanigans. The day before this, it was he sent the entire defense and all the coaches on laps.
And the beat writer was like, it was peculiar because the defense had been playing well, but there was an issue with how they were transitioning from field to field. So what did he say to him, Wilds? Tell it, your three favorite words.
Lap
what did Joe Judge say to him?
Lap it up! Lap it up!
And yesterday, he's like, laps and push-ups. It's really all push-ups. The Giants have is this. Yeah, like, so yeah, that's great. I'm happy. It gives us good.
I just think
Wilds.
It's.
Wilds is your guy.
Oh, I think it's.
You love it.
I just love it. I love it. I love the absurdity of it. It is so ridiculous to be using calisthenics as a punishment for professional athletes and coaches. Like, what did I do? I got to do push-ups. And Jenna, I know you're a big fan of calisthenics, but this is one of the reasons why body weight exercises are never going to catch on, because they're being used as punishment. So now I have an idea, and it's sort of a marketing thing for Peloton. You know they have bikes there? Just put a bunch of Pelotons out there so Joe Judge can switch it up. Like, everybody, on the bike, 20-minute groove ride with Cody right now. Do it. Let's go. Crank it up. 30 minutes with Ali Love right now. EDM.
Oh, that was mine.
Don't make me do 45 minutes with Alex Club Bangers. You one more offside penalty. He'll do you doing 45
Somebody's
minutes.
A Peloton fan. Look, you know all of them.
Emma Lovewell. I feel bad. I'm ashamed to admit that I've been giving Joe Judge workouts, but yeah, she's good. But I'm not going to say that I do that because I only sometimes do that. All right, we're going to take a turn. Leave all my calisthenics aside for just a second. Talk some Philip Rivers. Wilds called this one yesterday. Rivers hinted at a possible comeback in the near future. Will the Colts come calling? To be discussed next. First things first on a Wednesday morning. Let's get back to some football now. Yesterday. You, Kevin Wilds, in another brilliant moment of television, suggested while Carson Wentz Thank is on you. The shelf following foot surgery, maybe the Colts bring back Philip Rivers. Well, yada, 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 Rivers said this yesterday. I yada, yada'd over the best part. I'm just going to stay ready. I want to make sure I'm very clear. I'm not predicting I will play in December or January, for that matter. One, you've got to have somebody who wants you. And two, it's got to be right. But I have not completely ruled that out. Nailed it, Wilds. Kevin, start with you. Should Thank the Colts you. Sign mm-hmm. Philip Rivers to replace Carson Wentz?
1,000,000,000% yes. 1,000,000,000%. This makes total sense for the Colts. It always has. And it never really made sense when he retired. You know when guys are going to hang it up. When Drew Brees throws a bunch of interceptions and we just saw in his final game and he's hugging his family and he's kind of out there, like, yeah, that's it. And the numbers plummeted with Drew Brees so that one of the biggest passing attacks in all of football becomes pretty mediocre. That's not what happened to Philip Rivers. Here's what it is, and we did some stats yesterday, so I had to freshen it up a little bit. He had more completions than Baker, more yards than Kyler, and a better passer rating than Matt Stafford. Now, I know you're saying, like, he's old, he's going to be 40. All right, well, we're in the golden age of old guys. Tom Brady's old, Aaron Rodgers is old,
Lakers.
Roethlisberger's old, and I hate to say it, Philip Rivers and the Lakers are old, and I hate to say it, Philip Rivers is healthier than all those guys. He hasn't missed a start. In 15 years, he was a little banged up. I think it was a toe issue, and he still played. He still got it. And Brandon, even if people are worried about the age or are worried about him getting in shape, we know Carson Wentz is going to be back. So Philip Rivers could basically do like a Vegas tour. Like, hey, you know what? I'm here for 5 to 12 weeks until Wentz is back. Then I'm going to go check in with my fellas down in high school football and be out. Make a couple million bucks. Win-win for everybody. Do you like Philip Rivers back to the Colts?
Listen, I do, and you called this, right? You said it yesterday, and I didn't think it was a real thing because of what you said. It's like it was weird to see him go. I know the Colts really enjoyed him. Frank Reich really enjoyed him. He had a great rapport with the guys, and they had some success. So for him to walk away the way he did, you know, it felt like, to me, it was over when you look at the dynamic in his family, his children getting older, boys in school. Now he wanted to go back and coach a little high school. So, you know, it looked like it was done. But here's the deal, Wilds. If he goes out there and he balls, we probably won't see Carson Wentz. Like, this is a true contender. And when you have a veteran quarterback like a Philip Rivers, what it does is it gives you a sense of security, because you know that guy in the biggest moments, in the biggest situation on Sundays, He's going to make the right decision. Back in the day when he was playing for the Chargers, right? Like, he's a gunslinger. That's who he is. And he was out there trying to do too much. Frank must have sat him down last year and said, buddy, don't throw no picks. If you do, you won't be in there. We know that Frank is a dude who is transparent. He keeps it real with his players. So he must have gotten to Phillip Rivers because we didn't see the same gunslinger last year that we saw during his stay with the Chargers. So I like this because you have a defense, a top five defense. Their philosophy, their science makes sense, and they're smart. Like, these dudes get after it. All three phases, all three levels, they get it done. And on the offensive side, Jonathan Taylor, this dude is next level. These guys can win a game just on the ground. So you got a guy like this, you come in, he loves to play action. We saw that year after year after year out there in San Diego and L.A. And he also showed that he can make the right decision in the two-minute drill, operating the four-minute offense, the red zone offense, the most critical parts of the game on Sundays. He can master that. He's next level. There's not too many quarterbacks out there right now, Nick, that you can bring in that can get the job done while Carson Wentz is out.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the other alternatives are the Nick Foles realm, then obviously Phillip Rivers is the better option. You guys talked about why it would make sense for the Colts. I want to talk about why it would make sense for Phillip Rivers. Because, listen, I'm going to say something controversial, and Jenna and Wilds are going to act like they disagree, but they know I'm right. You know what is slightly overrated? Spending a ton of time, all your time, with your kids. Spending a good amount of time with your kids is good. But Phillip Rivers is like, oh, I got 9 kids. I'm going to spend all my time with them. Oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. Meanwhile, every day before the show, I hear Jenna freaking out. You better get on that bus to camp. I swear to God, if you miss the bus to camp, and I got to deal with you today. Wilds, we are allowed to do these shows from home. Wilds rented office space. Okay. He's like, nope, kids, Billy and Russ, I'll see you later. I'm going. Brandon has like four jobs. He has like four jobs. It's like, kids, I'll see you in the morning and at night, but other than that, daddy's working. Phillip Rivers is like, I got 9 kids. I'm going to spend all my time with them. 4 months later, he's like, anybody want to hire me?
I got to get back to
work. Oh, I got to travel for work? No problem. So I do think Phillip Rivers wants to do it. I also think that for the Colts, they do have a commitment to Wentz. Because they traded a pick for him. And by the way, this kind of could work out because that's now going to be a second-round pick instead of a first-round pick because Wentz isn't going to meet the playing time thresholds for this to be a first-round pick. And they are committed to Wentz for not only this year but next year. So you can't bring in a guy who might full-on replace him wholesale. But you do, as Brandon has mentioned, and I don't think he's wrong, have a really good roster. You are in a division where there's only one other team that's actually contending. I think Jacksonville will be good-ish this year, but they're not a contender, and Houston will be terrible. So you don't want to have your season ruined by having no one at quarterback. And so for all those reasons, I think this makes sense. Wilds, he knows the system, as you pointed out. He was successful there last year. Right. And he would be being brought in. I think he would understand, hey, man, like, this is at least our plan is for Carson to take over when he's healthy. Now that plans can change, but I don't think Phillip Rivers would be like, no, you have to commit to me for the season. So for all those reasons, if he wants to do it and his quotes to Sam Farmer make it seem like he's open to it, I think this is a no-brainer. I think you nailed it.
So I think it's 99% of a no-brainer. And I want to ask you a question, Brandon, because you have brought up how some guys thrive under competition and other guys don't. We saw Aaron Rodgers, right. And granted, there's a host of issues, but once Jordan Love was in the building, got kind of weird. Tom Brady and Jimmy G, a little bit weird. We saw Carson Wentz, and maybe it was a Nick Foles thing. We said, don't bring Nick Foles back. We don't want that sort of dynamic. So do you think, I mean, it's a good problem to have in the short term, that if Phillip Rivers comes back to Indianapolis, they start winning games, and then Carson Wentz takes off the walking boot and is running around like, oh, old CW is ready to go again. Like,
why don't you're kind of benched
right.
again. It's like, oh man, right. I just was benched in Philly. Yeah. Thought I was coming here to get a new start. Do you think even the idea of bringing bringing Philip Rivers to Indianapolis would mess with Carson Wentz's psyche?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, we saw that last year, how fragile, you know, his mindset was. And then even a year before, dealing with, you know, Nick Foles being there and the success Nick Foles had and guys really embracing him. Philip Rivers is loved in that organization, from the general manager Chris Ballard down to the head coach Frank Reich, and then all the guys in the locker room. He's one of those guys. He's a Josh McCown. He's a Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the guys. He's a Tom Brady. There are some quarterbacks, when they walk in the building, they have their own little office. It feels like it. They do their own little thing, and you only see them in the meeting room. You only see them when we go out to practice. You barely see them. Hell, you don't even see them in the training room. You don't see them in a hot tub, cold tub. But those guys, they're right there next to the guys in the locker room. So when you look at Phillip Rivers, he's going to go out there and he's going to compete. And if you look at those first nine games, right, from the first from opening day to the ninth game playing against my strong Jets, if he goes out there, if they sign him and he goes out there and they win some games, and they come out. Look, you laugh. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at me?
Just the Jets part. No. Just the Jets part. Everything else was good.
Wait,
keep going.
I know.
Let's not get confused.
Finish the
go
sentence.
Ahead.
If they
no,
go
it's
out
just
and
that,
win games.
But
with
if he goes out there, let's say if he wins five, six games, I don't know if we see a Carson Wentz for the rest of the year. I just don't see that happening.
Oof.
And so
especially
this is where I think
Jets.
It also works. Yeah, especially if he beats the Jets. If people don't know the Colts schedule, the Colts' first 8 weeks
Jenna,
are actually very
you,
difficult.
Jenna.
So Brandon was correct about that.
You
but
did?
Here's we'll where I actually think this works really well. And I know Brandon was like, Frank Reich mind melded him, and he was like, you can't throw picks. Guess what? Philip, if they want to get Carson Wentz back in the lineup, Philip Rivers about once a month will give him a game where it's like, okay, Philip, you're done. There'll be a game where Phillip's down six and he's like, and throws blind and it's intercepted the other way. And it's like, okay, Carson, you got your job back. But the other three games that month, he'll keep you alive. He'll play well. So I don't think this would be a permanent replacement. But I also do think this, that you need, if Carson Wentz never got hurt, it would have been a huge benefit for them to have Phillip Rivers on the roster. Because you need a backup quarterback for the end of the season with Carson Wentz. Because he has shown a propensity to get injured during the year. And so if Phillip Rivers can come in and play the first month, and then Wentz takes over, you still would like Phillip Rivers to stick around, Jenna, in case Carson Wentz gets banged up again, so your playoff hopes aren't riding on Jacob Eason or Brent Hundley or whomever they install as their number two quarterback.
Turns out Wentz is not available at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. You need bookend quarterback for Phillip Rivers. Rivers, by the way, only 7 months removed from getting the Colts to the playoffs. It wasn't that long ago. All right, let's get back to some basketball here. First things first.
Good job.
On a Wednesday morning, because Steph Curry
kids.
Is a $200 million man yet again. He's Nick's right. If my kids did not make this fuss, I swear to God. Yeah. We are also going to talk some NFL as well. We got a lot to discuss. I'm all over the map. First things first. Back here, first things first. Time for a little in or out. Sponsored by Midas for tires, brakes, oil, everything. Make your appointment at Midas.com today. Steph Curry making some history yesterday. Signed a four-year, $215 million extension. That not only keeps him rich, keeps him in the Bay Area through the 2025-26 season. First player, by the way, in NBA history to sign two, not one, but two $200 million contracts. That's like so many dollars. It's insane to me. Oh, it's pretty good. Nick, you win or out on Steph winning another title with the Warriors?
Unfortunately, I'm out on this, but I think Warriors fans should still be very happy today. Listen, the concern of Steph Curry playing somewhere else is now, for the most part, gone. Because it's a four-year extension.
So it just tacks on to the, he already has a year left. So he's now locked in for the next 5 years. So the Steph Curry is pacing to have Dirk, Kobe, Duncan, that type of career. One franchise, iconic player, you know, the best player right. history of the franchise in Steph's case, unquestioned. So that's great. And the guy's got 3 rings, 2 league MVPs. Like, he's done everything a guy can do aside from win a finals MVP, right? But I feel like the Warriors are trying to, and I hate to use the cliche, have their cake and eat it too. And I think they're going to end up right in the middle here, which is, and I don't mean middle like a 500 team, but they're trying to get young players and look for the future while also having a very old right. core. When the playoffs start,
yep.
next year, Steph will be 34. Klay will be 32. Draymond will be 32. Meanwhile, in this year's draft, they drafted an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old to go along with the kid Weissman, who they knew when they drafted him, that he was a project as well last year. Like, Brandon, everyone laughed at the trade Daryl Morey offered. And Daryl Morey said, hey, you want Ben Simmons? Give me the 7th pick, the 14th pick, 2 future lottery picks, and to make the money work, Wiseman and Wiggins. Everyone's like, oh my God, what a laughable ask. I think the Warriors should have done that.
That's a lot, Nick.
I think if you have Ben Simmons.
Really?
And it is a lot. But Ben Simmons this year would give you a better chance to win than Kuminga and Moses Moody, Wiseman and Wiggins, and then all of a sudden it's like, we've got a really good four. A really good four. Steph, right. Klay, Simmons, right. and Dre, 2 of the best shooters in basketball, 2 of the best defenders in basketball. That is a tough playoff four. Instead, you've got this old, really good part of your team, these young projects who won't help you at all this year. So I don't think they'll contend in what's left of Steph's prime, Brandon.
So what I hear you saying is that they're comfortable. I want to be so in on this because you have a once in a lifetime type talent in Steph Curry. All right, and you just paid him. Why would you be comfortable just being just average? I just don't understand that. Why wouldn't you make a move? Now, Nick, I think, you know, it is telling that they didn't consider that, but that's a lot, man. 7, 4, 2
it is a
future
lot.
Lottery picks and then Wiseman.
Do it.
That may be too much. But, so I want to be in on this because if you make this type of move where you're saying we're going to commit to Steph Curry in a major way for the next 4 or 5 years, then why wouldn't you go out there and try to figure out a way? Everybody else is doing it, right? You have the Nets out there in the East. You have Philly. They're going to be aggressive, continue to be aggressive. You have the Lakers, right? You got to figure it out. Yeah. But until I see it, I'm going to be out, Wiles. I'm going to be out because the landscape is just, it's too much competition out there. You know, when you think about their run and how amazing they were years ago, they had a really good team with crazy shot-making ability, right? We're talking about guys that's coming off the bench like Sean Livingston coming in there and giving people the business,
yeah,
right? There was no drop-off. There was no letdown when those guys were on the bench. Iguodala coming in making big shots and competing on the defensive side. Like, they were a complete team with guys that can get it done offensively. Now, they just have crazy shot-making ability, and that's assuming Klay comes back and Klay is right, he picks up right where he left off. So they're not a complete team. So I got to be out on this until I see them be a little bit more aggressive.
Okay, I am wildly in on it. The question is the Warriors organization as in on it as I am? And now look, I'm going to do a take here that is very Colin Coward-esque. I worked with Colin for a while. I've been listening to a lot of Colin. So this, a lot of Colin is like floating around my brain. So here it goes. This is almost like a Colin cover song of something he would do.
Nick,
you like this. You are a big Colin guy as well. So here's the thing, what's wrong with the Warriors? And I'm gonna talk about cities. And the decisions that are being made in NBA free agency feel very indicative of the personality of the city that they're in.
So you've got New York and Boston, they're old cities, they're old East Coast, established 400 years ago. They're always trying to recapture the past. Oh, the greatest arena on earth. Oh, we can go back to the 70s with Walt Clyde Frazier. And the Celtics are trying to hang another banner. It's all about the past, right? Then you go to LA. LA is all about the now. Hey, what's your movie? How'd your movie do this weekend? Who's the new hot music artist right now? That's LeBron. LeBron is right now. Trade the whole team. Trade Lonzo Ball. Get Julius Randle out of here. I want right now. Get AD. It's right now. Get 9 new guys. Oh, they're all 35 plus. I don't care. We're about right now. And then you go up to Silicon Valley, San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland area, Warriors area. It's all about the future. It's all about, hey, what's the world gonna look like in 5 years? What's the world gonna look like in 10 years? Hey, let's self-finance a rocket and go to space. Let's see what space is like. Maybe we can live out there. That's what the Warriors are doing. That's right. The Warriors need to be less future-centric and more now-centric. And Pepper, can we put up their moves that the Warriors made to try to take advantage of Klay Thompson's shrinking window? Draymond's shrinking window, Steph shrinking. This is their big moves. Well, we didn't even know this happened. We were in the call. It's like, yeah, they got Otto Porter. Like, okay. So, Nick, I need less future visionary stuff out of the Warriors and that's more right. Los Angeles, LeBron, right now, make a move.
Bravo, Wild.
Get Daryl Morey on the call this show. Call Daryl Morey like, hey, you know what? We reconsider. We watch First Things First. Let's send Ben Simmons out there.
We'll take the deal.
You got to do it right now. Do it right now.
And I know what Warriors fans will say. They'll be like, oh, we still might make a move. It is so much harder to trade a draft pick after the pick has been made. Because the team you're trading with might not like Kuminga the way you do. They might not like Moody the way you do. When you trade a pick that hasn't been made, you're trading for an idea. Now you're trading for a real human being. And again, like they and Wild's buddy Bill Simmons said this during the draft, and I don't think he's wrong. When Jalen Suggs fell out of the top 4 and he's there at 5 and a guy who can help you right now, not a big project. Was there not a conversation? Hey, trade 7 and 14 to move up to get him? No, instead they stay at 7 and take the youngest guy in the draft, Kuminga. He's 18 years old. And then they follow that up with by taking Moody, who's 19, who again, I'm not saying they won't be good players. What I'm saying is by the time either of them are ready to help you win, Steph is 37 years old. Draymond's 35 and maybe on a different team.
But like, Nick.
So I just don't get that part of it, Brandon.
Nick, could it be more Steph, though? Because going back to April when he went on that amazing run and we were all having this conversation about should he stay or is LeBron recruiting him and trying to get him to L.A., we were all saying, like, he should probably go, but it's going to come down to what he wants. Maybe it's Steph Curry sitting there saying, you know what, I'm happy with the three ships. I'm happy with that. Like, I just want to go down and retire Warrior. So maybe this is more driven by Steph than it is the organization, because it does make sense. What you guys are saying is like
the extension part, definitely, but I guarantee you, and I don't know Steph at all, I've never spoken to him, but I can still guarantee this. If you ask Steph Curry, would you rather have Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody or an established veteran on the team, he would say veteran. Like, when the Warriors went on that run last year, what does it matter?
But does it matter to him? But does it matter if he already has his rings and he has his MVP?
I think his legacy is secure, but you still always want to add. And it's noteworthy when the Warriors went on their run last year was when Wiseman stopped playing. He got dinged up and then he's out of the rotation and they just went with the veteran guys. And here's the other part of it. As far as to Wild's point about right now, be about right now. Brandon, the West all of a sudden this upcoming year, with Kawhi potentially missing the whole year, aside from the Lakers, it's pretty open. It's like, do you really believe in Denver? Maybe. Is anyone ever going to believe in Utah again? Nope. Do Phoenix, you got to give them respect and credit, but you also do always have the concern, is Chris Paul going to get dinged? And then, so the Warriors should be looking at it and saying, we could be back in the finals. And if they were to make finals, you know who will play 0 minutes? Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody. Because rookies don't play in big playoff games. They just don't. Okay. And so, like, I don't love, I like the Otto Porter signing, Jenna, but I don't love their offseason. I don't love it.
All right. See what Steph Curry has in store for year 13, coming off his second scoring title. We'll see. Let's get back to some football now. Lots to discuss because, Brandon, we got another receiver list to break down. Do Tom Brady's Bucks have the best group of pass catchers in the league? They top A-list. We will show you that list. It is next. First things first. Back here, first things first, we got Super Bowl champ Greg Jennings joining us. Good morning, Greg. As a former wide receiver that you are, let's talk best receiving core around the NFL, because Pro Football Focus published their list yesterday of the teams with the best pass catchers. And the defending Super Bowl champion Bucks, led by Mike Evans, Gronk, Chris Godwin, sit atop the list. Then you've got the Dallas Cowboys at number two, followed by, at number three, Knicks high-flying Chiefs, Bills at four, Titans at five, so on and so forth. But Greg, what do you make of the top five?
I think it's respectable for sure when you look at the names of the teams that are on that list. For me, my only issue or my only combative challenge would be moving the Titans up over the Bills.
Such a wide receiver, Greg.
100%. Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Got it. I mean, when you look at AJ Brown and what he does, and you add now Julio Jones, and you have them fifth, that's just hard to swallow. That's like, I just, as a receiver, like you said, Brandon, I just have a hard time swallowing that. I can see the Bucks being there when you look at what they were able to accomplish together, the continuity that they established, how they made it work with those three guys. And then obviously they won. The Cowboys are special. They are going to be a great team. There are a lot of teams that are like wanting to knock down this door. Yeah. You got the Vikings with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. You got the Cleveland Browns with Landry and Odell Beckham coming off an injury. There are a lot of teams that are going to want to crash this party.
Right.
Nick, I know he likes the Chiefs on here and probably want them to be higher. Yeah. But my only issue with the Chiefs, is you have Travis Kelce and you have obviously Cheetah. And that's huge. Yeah,
right.
But one is a tight end, one is a receiver. And we're just saying receiving cores or just pass catchers. Like, what is the criteria? I would love to know how they configure it. If that is the case, then they deserve to be on here. But if we're talking receivers, the Chiefs, they shouldn't even be on this
list. No. They've got, just to be clear, and then Brandon, you go, they're talking about all pass catchers. So when they broke it down, they included tight ends. So they included tight ends, which is how the Chiefs got on there. But go
ahead,
Brandon.
Which changed, Greg. When we got in the league back in 2006, it was only about the wide receiver, and it was only about the tandem. That's why when you look at the Chiefs, they're that good. They're lucky to be at number three, Nick, because for that reason. They only have two guys. In modern football, you got to have four to five guys to be talking about you're the best of the best. So for them to be at three says a lot about Patrick Mahomes, it says a lot about Cheetah, and it says a lot about Travis Kelce. Here's my thing, Nick. This morning we were talking through this and it still didn't hit me. I said, the Bucks. I really never considered the Bucks at number one
You know, there's other guys out there, and there's even people not on this list that you got to talk about. The Seattle Seahawks, the Rams, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Chargers. There's so many teams out there that have these strong pass catchers. But the problem is they only have two. When you think about the number one and number two teams on this list, the Bucks and the Cowboys, it's not even close. I had to check myself this morning, and I opened up the roster, and I looked at the Bucks, and we're looking at Antonio Brown. We have Chris Godwin. You have Mike Evans, and then you go to the tight end position. They get O.J. Howard back, who was actually getting his career on track and having a really good year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And you have Gronk. Gronk finished the year with almost 800 yards. Now, Gronk is no longer the best tight end in the NFL, but he gets it done when he has to. And you saw what he did in the Super Bowl. And then, what about Cameron Brate when OJ went down? They're loaded. They're super loaded. I don't even think it's close. I love the Cowboys. They have three dynamic number one wide receivers, and they have a good tight end. But everybody else, you just see guys that have great tandems, and they have good quarterbacks to go along with it. Yeah. But this number one, Bucks, and then number two, the Cowboys, not even close.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, Greg was right about what my issue is. And you guys, this is an outrageous conversation. First of all, I'm not sure how the Bills made it on here. Stephon Diggs is unbelievable, but the Bills don't have any tight end to speak of. They don't throw to him. And their number two receiver might retire from football to go on this anti-vax crusade. So I don't know how the Bills actually make the list. But let's talk about the Chiefs for a moment, if we may, America. Let me try to find a good analogy. All right, Greg, let's say we're talking car collections. And it's like, wow, you've got five BMWs. That's really nice. Brandon, you've got six Mercedes. Wow. All I have is a Lamborghini Aventador and a Rolls-Royce Phantom and a couple bicycles. Guess what? My collection's better. Take your Beamers and Benzes and screw. I've got a Lambo and a Rolls and I win. That's it. You've got the best tight end in football, the best deep threat receiver in football. You've got a guy who, Travis Kelce, just set the all-time tight end receiving record.
And a bunch
he now
of
has 1, 3, and 9 for the year. You have Tyreek Hill.
That's why they're at three.
Unguardable. No, they should be at one. I don't care if Kevin White is the number three option. Don't throw to him. They only need to throw to two guys, and no one can stop them. So this idea of it's like, well, once you get to the fourth option, don't need a fourth option. I'm never driving the fourth car. Well, it's like, do I drive the Lambo or the Rolls? The Lambo or the Rolls? The other thing would be a unicycle. Don't care. That's all that matters. So the Chiefs obviously should be number one here. Yeah, what up, Brandon? What's up?
So listen, again, that's why you guys are at number three, but it speaks to the level of play of Patrick Mahomes and also those guys. Like I said, back in the day when Greg and I came in a league, all you needed was two guys because you can slant the defense any way. If you take one guy, you put Travis Kelce on the left, and then you have Cheetah on the right. Now what are you doing? Are you going to double both? Now you're opening up big scenes for the run game. Now you have that number three guy and Mecole Hardman who's matched up with a number three, number four corner or a nickel guy and against cover zero. Yeah. Like it's lights out. So it speaks to how awesome the Chiefs are, because when you look at it, they're trying to take Kelce out of the game plan. They're trying to take, Cheetah out. But when you have Patrick Mahomes drop back and he can read it quickly and he knows where to go with the ball, it makes it difficult on everybody on the field. And that's why they're at number three. They can't be at number one because, yes, that Lamborghini that you talked about and that Rolls Royce, all right, it's not the Rafe. It's not the big boys, right? So, you can't just say, okay, because you got a Lamborghini and a Rolls Royce, they got to be number one. You need a little bit more in your garage, buddy.
Yeah, you can. No, you don't. You actually don't. Wilds, here's the thing. You actually don't. You don't need anything more in your garage. You just have to hope someone doesn't come before you leave and steal your hubcaps, and that's your left tackle, your left guard, your right guard, and your right tackle before the Super Bowl. As long as that doesn't happen, you only need those two cars, Wilds. That's all you need.
I love it. I love the take. Brandon, I think you've got it. I'm going to convince you about your own take. Here's your own take. My biggest takeaway here is that the Titans are going to be unstoppable. When you look at how much these teams run the ball, and I know it's weird we're talking about running in a wide receiver topic, but stay with me. These four teams are all on the bottom half of yards per game. The Chiefs were 16th, the Cowboys were 17th, the Bills were 19th, and the Bucks were 28th. The Titans were second. Right. So while all these teams are very pass first, the Chiefs are going to be pass first. Bruce Arians is going to be pass first. He doesn't care if Jameis is throwing it to the wrong team or he's got Tom Brady. The Cowboys' defense is so bad they have to be pass first, and Josh Allen wants to show off the cannon of the arm. Ryan Tannehill is sitting back there with so many weapons. Right. My biggest takeaway is that the Titans' offense is going to be unstoppable, and we should talk about them more. How high are you on the Titans' offense?
Oh, I'm extremely high on the Titans' offense. This is the type of offense that I love to play in, and I thrived in, was when we had a balanced attack where you put me backside at the X, and then if it was one-on-one, it was coming to me. If they were doubling me or they were rolling coverage, then we had favorable matchups in the run game and on the other side. So that's why I always love this, and I can speak to like this when you talk about, you know, best receiving corps and tandems, because I go back to my time in Denver. We had Eddie Royal. I had 104 catches. He had 91. Then I went to Miami. I had Brian Hartline, who had a career year. And then we went on to Chicago. Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, the Jets. You have Eric Decker. So when you have a balanced attack, it makes everything easy. But we're not talking about who's going to be scarier or who's going to have the best season. The teams that have the best receiving corps don't always get it done. So when you talk about the Titans, yes, we could easily be looking up at the end of the year saying, wow, this was the most efficient team. This was a team that nobody thought was going to get it done because it's like, oh, you only have just two guys. No, what they're talking about is efficiency. When you have three, four, five guys, you got levels. It goes deep. You got depth at the receiver position, the tight end position. And that's why the Bucks are number one and also the Cowboys is number two.
Receiver talk with Brandon and Greg. What's better? I mean, me talking burpees, but receiver talk with Brandon and Greg. I love it. Let's talk some Big Blue. This is for you, Kevin Wilds. This is your favorite story. Fireworks yesterday, Giants camp. Not this one in particular, but just anything the Giants do. Did Joe Judge's punishment fit the crime for the fisticuffs that were thrown at practice? We discuss next. First things first.
Nick, I'd be in.
The boss, Sasha Banks, is back. Plus, John Cena will now face Universal Champion Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. How will the head of the table react? It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
All right, we are in L.A. this morning with the newest Laker, but oldest of friends of LeBron, Carmelo Anthony. Melo needed a team. Lakers
did you say old?
Shooting, and they'll get it. With Melo off the bench. The oldest of friends. Oldest of friends. They are old friends like me and Marnie. Melo flourished in that role this year in Portland, just like Marnie did, averaging 13 points on 40% shooting from three. Check out how Carmelo Anthony made the announcement on Twitter, working in the Laker logo to his own personal logo. It's this and then it's that.
That's dope.
So it was this and now it's that. And there he is. Typical Carmelo already in the gym, putting the work in. Skills coach Chris Brickley posting this video of the 10-time All-Star here in New York City yesterday. That's not all the Lakers did. Splash. They made three other moves as well. They signed Malik Monk. They signed Kendrick Nunn. They brought back Talen Horton-Tucker.
Who?
All right, Nick, what was your reaction to the Lakers signing Carmelo Anthony?
All right, I'm going to personalize this for a second because Melo holds a very special place in my heart. Obviously, sports are my life. Mm. And for a very long time, I had nothing but heartbreak. I'm from Kansas City. The Royals, the first 30 years of my life, were the worst team in baseball. The Chiefs went 20 plus years without a single playoff victory. And I just, I knew, I was a Knicks fan in the NBA growing up. This is the first basketball game I ever went to. They just heartbreak. The only championship any of my teams won until I was damn near 30 years old was Syracuse. And why did Syracuse win it? Because of the great Carmelo Anthony. Little did we know at the time that then Carmelo's NBA career was going to be known for a lack of winning. Never made the finals. Only made the conference finals one time. Only made it out of round one twice. And for Melo now to have this final act of his career, Brandon, that when my friend Daryl Morey went in Melo's hotel room in Houston and was like, hey, buddy, you're done here. Most of us thought his career was over. So this final act that we didn't think he was going to get, got good playoff moments and good playoff reps in Portland. And now he gets to team up with Bron for a team that even if you think they can't beat the Nets, I think everyone on the panel agrees they're the favorites in the West, the favorites to make the finals, which is something Melo's never experienced. I'm thrilled.
I
think he adds something the Lakers need, scoring off the bench. He's turned himself into a very efficient three-point shooter, and I don't think he's too old. You know, his game was never built on athleticism. He's obviously not the scoring champ he once was, but he can help him. So I love it. And I love that LeBron and Melo get to finally play together after their whole stories kind of twisting and turning throughout their entire careers.
Yeah, I mean, help them in a major way. I think he's going to have a bigger impact on this team than he did in Portland. And one would say, like, oh, well, you know, don't you think the Blazers needed Melo more? No. Like, this dude can come in right now and impact, have a huge impact on this team right away. The way this dude scores the basketball is insane. And he's just getting better from deep. So I like Melo in this situation. And it's also personal for me, too, Wilds. Okay? Back in 2006, when I was drafted to the Denver Broncos, who was there? Carmelo Anthony. And back in the day, it was affordable to sit courtside. And if you played and you had a good game, there was somebody in the community say, hey, you want to use my seats? So I saw it up close and personal. I saw this guy go out there and get bucket after bucket after bucket. And we're talking about silky smooth offensive game. Now, obviously, especially back then, he wasn't doing anything on defense. But we didn't need him to. Like, he was a monster. And so, you know, when he left, I left. I was a Carmelo Anthony fan. I'm also a Dwayne Wade fan. But back in the day, I grew up as a Chicago Bulls fan, like a lot of people, because of who? Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan retired, you know, then I was like, okay, I was like almost like a little nomad. And then I stumbled across Carmelo Anthony. So Carmelo Anthony treated me well. I loved his game. So I'm happy for Carmelo Anthony. And yes, he's going to get his opportunity to get it done, because when you look at the West, you know, yeah, I mean, you got the Suns out there. Nick keeps knocking the Jazz. I still think the Jazz will still be able to compete. The Clippers, Kawhi banged up. So you still have a little competition, but they should make it through. If those guys stay healthy, they should make it through. The problem is the Nets.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing all this. LeBron James is doing all this because the Brooklyn Nets. Nick is going to tell you it's the Bucks. That's not it. Everybody in the world know. These three guys, they stay healthy. There's no competition out there. So look, I like it for Carmelo Anthony. I still need to see how Westbrook fits in. But here's the deal, though, Wilds. Doesn't it remind you a lot like the 2003, 2004 Lakers? When they went out there, they re-signed Horace Grant, old guy. They went out there. You know, they got Karl Malone. His 19th year. Right? Who else did they? Gary Payton, the glove.
Gary Payton.
Right? They had Rick Fox on the bench. Right? Like, come on, man. We got to see how this is going to come together. I like it on paper, but we got to see.
Okay, so that team still made it to the finals. And if your Nets were to play these Lakers in the finals, I think that would be an NBA fan's dream come true. And I think we would be prime, Nick, for Melo to make one of the all-time great shots and define his legacy. So when we look at the three biggest shots of this century, it's Ray Allen and Kyrie Irving.
And Ray Allen was at the tail end of his career, and that defines his career. When we talk about legacies, right, you can have the Wikipedia page. You can read all Melo's accomplishments, right? He won the national championship at Syracuse. He's got 3 gold medals. He's 10-time scoring champ. He's 1-time scoring champ, 10-time All-Star. We get it. What's the defining moment? We don't really have it. He scored 62 points at the Garden. He had a big dunk in Denver. He played with a hooded sweatshirt on at Chris Brickley's run. But if we could get these Lakers in the finals and have LeBron kick the ball out to Melo 4-3, Nick, the one knock on Melo that he was a scorer that couldn't win, the whole narrative would change. Now it'd be like, look at this guy.
That's right.
One of the pure scorers, a guy you could root for, a guy that New York loved, that had to go to L.A. I feel like the entire NBA would be happy. And like Garnett, who Garnett had a long career, his defining moment was winning that championship and saying anything is possible. That is Carmelo hitting a 3 in the finals for the Lakers to win.
And I know this sounds odd, because if you're not a Lakers fan, you probably hate the Lakers, and I get that. And if you're not a LeBron fan, A, what's wrong with you? But B, you probably really dislike LeBron. But there would be an element of, if you're just, if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, or if you're an Orlando Magic fan, but you love the NBA, aren't you rooting for Russ and Melo to get a title? Aren't you rooting for those guys? And on the LeBron side of things, like, Dwight was a guy who was toxic, couldn't be a part of a winning culture until he was. Like, if LeBron can, after Love and Bosch and Kyrie and AD and Dwight, none of them won anything, no even deep playoff runs without him, then they win a title. You add Russ and Melo to that list, that's a part of the legacy as well, because Brandon, Melo doesn't yet have what will be a historically lasting legacy, unless you're a diehard NBA fan.
And he could have it now.
Does the casual fan know about Bernard King? I don't know. Does the casual fan know that much about George Gervin other than he had a great nickname? I don't know. Those are great players.
This is torture.
But they never played in a finals game. They were great scorers. And so they don't have it. Melo could have it now. And here's the other thing, Brandon. The Lakers offseason, while you're denigrating it, it's going to turn you into a Lakers fan. You love Russ. You love Melo.
Yeah.
LeBron. They keep signing your guys. Brandon.
This is the worst thing that could happen, Jenna.
Yeah.
Like, I am a true Carmelo Anthony fan. And now you go sign him. But here's the problem. I might need to change my tune because I don't want any type of pushback when my Nets beat the Lakers, okay? My Nets beat my Lakers.
Time to pull up. Gotta get past the Bucks, Brandon. We gotta go. See you tomorrow.